Good report. Good report. Absolutely. Anything else? Want to remember April's grandmother. Continue to pray for them as I go through this and things is happening. So, all right.
Laura had a really good day today. And she said, "Will you be upset if I'm tired?" I said, "Be upset." No, oh, man. Anyway, but she said, I couldn't believe how well I've done because we didn't get home till late. Time enough for me to do my chores and turn around and come back. Got her eyes down good before I left, so. Ice machine still might be running, I don't know.
All right.
She did good. Thank you for the prayer.
Absolutely. And we're very, very proud to see him. I appreciate all of you, how welcome you received Brother Travis's grandson. Them, bless. God got him here, and God's going to get him back to California. And Brother Travis's wishes will be fulfilled, and can't ask for more than that. So, all right. Zechariah chapter 3. Some good stuff in these next two chapters. They're short, but they're filled with the message God has for his children there in the land of Israel. Joshua was Israel's high priest. And so when that remnant came back from Babylon and returned to Jerusalem, they had a responsibility. What was that responsibility? Rebuild the temple, right? Well, they got to dabbing in it. What? Was it 2.5 years they worked on it? And then they said, we got to get over here and build ourselves. We got to do this, we got to do that. And they left the Lord's work to do their work. And God had to slow them down, put them back, and watch what happens when he does what the Lord tells him to do. And their lives. Zechariah says here that, "Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord." Remember that angel standing in that vineyard down there and olive trees and stuff? "And Satan standing at his right side to accuse him." So the vision that he has this time is the high priest, Joshua, standing before the angel of the Lord. And there's the old devil. And now, how many times have I told you that where God is, something can't be? What is it? Unconfessed sin here is being portrayed as dirty clothes. Okay? When they receive the Lord and accept him and does his will, he's going to change those clothes. He said, The Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebukes you. Is not this man a burning stick snatched from the fire?" And so what he's saying here, he's using a burning stick as being snatched from the fire. As a saved person, you and I, who have claimed the name of Jesus, being saved from the eternity in hell. And he's giving them a visualization of what he's talking about here. And here's Satan standing at his right hand, waiting to accuse him. And the Lord there in the form of this angel says, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebukes you. Is not this a burning stick snatched from the fire?" Now Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes as he stood before the angel. The angel said to those who were standing before him, take off his filthy clothes. Then he said to Joshua, see, I have taken away your sins, and I will put rich garments on you. You know, we know that when life leaves this old body of ours, there's going to be a separation of what? Body and soul, isn't it? All right, what's going to happen to the body? Return to the dust of the earth from whence it came. What's going to happen to the soul? So shall we ever be with the Lord. We don't know what we're going to be like, but we're going to be like him, and he's perfect, you know? And he said here that we're going to put on rich garments, pure, sinless garments. Why are we being dressed like that before we enter into the presence of who the Lord is? What can't be there? So we got to have a what? Cleansing, that pure heart, that's right. And so he's changing his clothes now. He said, put on him a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him while the angel of the Lord stood by. So Satan's there to accuse Joshua, and Joshua represents the nation of Israel that's dealing here. The accusations were correct. Joshua stood in filthy clothes. There wasn't no doubt about it. Being the best that we are, we're still sinners. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What did Isaiah say? Woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips. He realized his unworthiness in his heart as he was dealing with this. Yet, even in the midst of all this and Joshua's sinful condition, God honored him. God gave him mercy. And God gave Larry Hubbard mercy, and he gave each one of you that asked for forgiveness of your sins mercy and forgiving you of the sin and wrong in our life. So what's going to happen to Satan? We know what's going to happen to us, but we very seldom talk about what's going to happen to Satan. Going to be cast into that bottomless pit in where the worm never dies, the fire never ceases. There's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And all that reject the Lord are going to be cast in there with him. It's going to be a sad time for them and their lives as they go through this and what God has prepared for them. And so we got to ask God to give us some clean clothes. And time in our life where we had to come to him and ask for forgiveness of that sin and wrong. And so all through Israel's history, God has punished Israel through the fire of various trials that they had to go through in their lives. And we've talked about them, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Persians, and the on and on that list goes. Everybody picked on who? Israel, didn't they? Picked on them because they were what? God's chosen people, you know, and their lives. So I see old Zechariah here as he's portraying the mercy of God and what the Lord has done for him. And we don't have to do a thing. You don't see Joshua here, the high priest, changing his clothes. Who changed them for him? God did, didn't he? And aren't you glad? Who run Satan off? God took care of that, didn't he? All right, let's see what happens here. The angel of the Lord, verse 6, gave this charge to Joshua. This is what the Lord Almighty says. See if you recognize this. If you will walk in my ways and keep my statutes or requirements, then you will govern my house and have charge of my courts, and I will give you a place among these standing here. If. What did he promise Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all the way through them to where they are at this point in place in their lives? Over and over, he made, what do we call them? What's an agreement between two parties? Covenant. That's right. What was the covenant he made between God and the Jews? If they would be unto him a son, he'd be unto them a God, a father. Their hearts as they walk through these various things. If you walk in my ways and keep my requirements, then you will govern my house, the house of Israel, Jerusalem he's talking about, and the rebuilding of that house. Not only will you govern my house, but you'll have charge of my courts, and I'll give you a place among these standing here. The Greek name for Joshua is Jesus. And Jesus means the Lord saves. Now, I don't know what you get out of this, but my little footnote says this. Joshua should not be confused with the warrior Joshua that we stood that brought the children over into Israel and carried them through the 12 tribes getting their land and stuff. And we're not talking about that Joshua there. The warrior Joshua and the high priest Joshua, however, have been seen as symbols of Jesus the Messiah. When the children of Israel, after wandering around out there and going through all the wasted years and stuff, and doing, when Joshua finally carried them over into the promised land, it is representative of the Lord carrying us. What is our promised land? Heaven as our home, isn't it? And Satan, the old accuser, he won't have no part in that. And what's happening in their lives. He said, listen, O high priest Joshua, and your associates seated before you, who are men symbolic of things to come. What are we waiting to come to pass? The father to say what? Son, go bring my children home. It, waiting for that calling. He said here, I am going to bring my servant, the branch. See the stone I have set in front of Joshua? There are seven eyes on that one stone, and I will engrave an inscription on it, says the Lord Almighty. And I will remove the sin of this land in a single day. Now I want to share with you what he says. The branch refers to the Messiah. And the meaning of the stone with seven eyes is not very clear. We don't understand that. It could mean the branch himself as the foundation stone of the temple. I like that idea because who set the cornerstone? God himself, didn't he? And the rock that was struck by Moses that produced water for the Israelites. Key place in the life of children of Israel. They were murmuring. What was they saying? I would to God that we was back where? Doing what? We at least had a roof over our head and we had food for our belly and water that we could drink, you know. Now we're out here dying for thirst. That was the second possibility, or the second eye of that. The third, he said, the renewed spiritual priesthood of the church. These verses were fulfilled hundreds of years later by Jesus himself. God said, I will remove the sin of this land in a single day. And this was fulfilled in Christ, who died for our sins once and for all. The righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. You cannot remove your sins by yourself. You must allow God to remove them through the blood of Jesus that he shed on Calvary's cross for us. Just think about it, you know. What God promised, God's going to do. What you and I have to deal with is the patience of God. You know, we wonder why it hadn't already happened. God, what are you waiting for? What's holding you back? What's keeping you from coming? You know, that same mercy that sent his son to the cross is that mercy that's causing him to hold back. Look at verse 10. In that day, each of you will invite his neighbor to sit under his vine and fig tree, declares the Lord Almighty. The day of the Lord, what did we just sing about? What a day that will be when that Jesus I shall see. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, you know. What a day, glorious day that's going to be. Here he's saying that in that day when we all get to heaven, we sing that song, right? As we look forward to that day, he says each one of us is going to invite our neighbor, whoever he may, red, yellow, black, or blue, or pink, or whatever. He's a child of God. He's your brother. She's your sister. He said, and in that day, you'll invite your neighbor to sit under the shade of the vine. Remember, it gave Joshua so much comfort. Then it withered down. Fig tree. Other places in Scripture, he describes it in three different fashions. He said, the corn of nourishment, the wine of refreshment, and the oil of joy. We got the three essentials that you need. When you get to heaven, God's going to take care of your nourishment. You won't need to have anything on the menu for supper. We're going to be dancing around the throne room of God. Corn of nourishment, the wine of refreshment, the oil of joy. It comes from the vineyards that they have there. And so each person going to have his own place of security. Now, how did Jesus describe that? What did he say about it? He didn't call it a vine that was going to sit on it. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, right? That where I am, there you may be also. Now, what did he say about that place? In my Father's house are many mansions. That's right. And I go and I'll prepare one for you. It may be an apartment on the side of the road. I don't care where it's at. God's prepared it especially for me. He's prepared a place for you if you trust him as Lord and Savior of your heart. All right, look into chapter 4. The gold lampstand and the two olive trees. Why do you think the illustration is so much of olive trees, as they were native to the land, but and squeezing the olive comes the joy of receiving the oil that would cause us the nourishment. Said, then the angel who talked with me returned and wakened me. You know, he was in a sleep when he sees this angel standing in that olive grove down there. And he said, as a man is awakened from his sleep, he asked me, what do you see? I answered, I see a solid gold lampstand with a bowl at the top and seven lights on it with seven channels to the light. All right, the gold lampstand was merely a bowl with seven lights on it, and it represented here a steady supply of oil, signifying that God never gonna run out of power. He's never gonna run short of the oil that produces the light and the things that he's doing. And what in their day and time, they had the lampstand, they fill the bowl with oil, they place a wick in it, place it on the lampstand, and it would give light all the way around. The number seven is symbolic of what?
Completeness.
Completeness, that's right. And so that bowl, according to the size of the place where you have, if he's going to put one in this room, it would need to be significantly big, wouldn't it? You're going to put one in my office, wouldn't need to be near that big, would it? It'd be small. Whatever that number seven is, the number of completion. And he said here, I asked the Lord and the angel with me, what are these, my Lord? He answered, do you not know what these are? No, my Lord, I replied. So he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. You will become level ground. Then he will bring out the capstone to shouts of God bless it. God bless it. About all they had been able to do was to lay out the new temple that had been destroyed. Then they got weary and they went about taking care of their own business for their own sakes and stuff. God's calling them back, and he has commanded Zerubbabel to be the chief person in rebuilding the temple. And his orders to Zerubbabel here are very plain. He said unto him, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. Now let's break that down. Three things he said there, okay? Not by my power, and not by my might, but by my what? Spirit, says the Lord. Zerubbabel, you're going out to do exactly what I command you to do. Now, I tell you all the time, I have to have a vision of that in my mind of how that works, you know? So the only vision I had any experience with of being led by the Holy Spirit and building something was what the Lord has blessed us with here in this church, you know? And every time there come a need and we pray and we seek the Lord, and God would provide for us those things that he wanted us to do in our heart and our life. Could I stand up here before you and said, boy, I done a good job, didn't I? I kept them carpenters in line. I made them work. We got this done. The money was provided him by old Joe and Tom and Dick and her. That ain't what he said. Zerubbabel, this is what I want you to do. I want you to build my temple. I want you to repair all the aspects of it as I share with you to do it. It's not going to be by your might. It's not going to be by your power. But it's going to be, he said here, by the Spirit of the Lord. That's what God was going to use to direct them and what he would have them to do. What are you and I, how are we led today? By what Brother Larry said? No. It's got to be by the Spirit of the Lord. And that Spirit takes place and us when we accept him as Lord and Savior of our hearts and our life. And as Brother Smith taught me when I was a kid growing up at Shady Grove all those years, I've heard him say it one time. I've heard him say it a gazillion. He'd say, "Bud, you let me tell you something. God didn't save you to sit down and sit. He saved you to get up and get busy doing his will." And over and over I hear that as I study the Word of God sometimes in my life. So who did God want Zerubbabel to know that's going to give him the power and the might and the strength or the wisdom, the guidance to do it with? What did I tell you this morning? God's not going to call on us to do anything. He doesn't want. Equip us or empower us. Now, he's getting ready to shift gears here, and we're going to move from the law to the grace with the end of the Old Testament and the beginning of the new, you know. It's going to be a lot of things different when we're living under grace. But this is the last thing that he's doing in the Old Testament is to do what? Build the temple. And he said, while it's doing that, and he said, you put the capstone on it, or the final touches to it, say what? God bless it. God bless it. And he wanted to know from whom those blessings came. Verse 8 says, then the word of the Lord came to me. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands will also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. All right. Zechariah had to have a word from God. He liked what David wanted to do in the original temple. He wanted to build it, but God wouldn't let him. Why? He said some innocent blood, didn't he? But he gave it to who? His son. That's right. His son built that temple. And he said, just as you will know the Lord Almighty has sent me, he said, I want you to know, and I want the hands of Zerubbabel to know, and I want all the builders that will be a part of building this temple back to know that I have chosen Zerubbabel to do this. Zechariah, he said, you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. Who despises the days of small things? Men will rejoice when they see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. There was a lot of fussing and complaining and griping and grumbling and fussing. You know, it's a proven fact in many of our churches today that a lot of the things that causes division with them, the roots of it go back to an old building program, or somebody didn't get the right color carpet that they wanted, or this wasn't done right, or that wasn't this, or whatever. Just a way for the old Satan. Where's he sitting? Right over here. What's he doing? Watching for an opportunity to do what? Pounce on us, you know? And the same thing was true here. And the people were murmuring because God had cut down the size of the temple. It wasn't as huge. It didn't have all the gold. It didn't have all the silver. It didn't have all the bronze and stuff in it that the old temple had and all. But they're not building a house for themselves. They're building a house to who? The Lord. And he set a plumb line in their midst. And he asked old Amos, and Amos, what seest thou? And he set a plumb line. And as he was, what does that plumb line do? Squares it up, doesn't it? Fixes it where it goes. And he said, the word of the Lord came to me, Zechariah, and it said, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. Laid it out just like the Lord told him to do. So, and his hands will also complete it. Zerubbabel will build this temple. Then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. Who despises the day of small things? Many of the older Jews were disheartened. They just thought it ought to be an exact replica of what it was, you know? Can anybody ever go to that cross to take Jesus' place on that cross? We make all kind of images and thoughts and feelings about what we think Jesus looked like. There's one behind us, you know, right there. It's someone's vision of what they think Jesus looked like. But I don't think it's going to be anything that looks anything like him. It's going to be majesty and glory and honor when we see him, because God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are what? One. They're one. Who despises the small day of small things? Men will rejoice when they see the plumb line in the hands of Zerubbabel. These seven are the eyes of the Lord, which range throughout the earth. Just think about that. All-seeing, all-knowing God. What ain't Vermeil say? Ain't gonna be no corner in heaven, is it? Gonna be no hiding places, no places where we can get away. I think about that a lot. And our lives. What you and I do for the Lord, it may seem small, it may seem little. I ain't having much influence or whatever. But I'm telling you, the seven eyes are the completeness. God taking notes. The God of glory, crown of righteousness, crown of, he's going to reward us with. We'll say to these things. Verse 11. Then I asked the angel, what are these two olive trees on the right and the left of the lampstand? He wanted to know what they were for. Again, I asked him, what are these two olive branches between the two gold pipes that pour out golden oil? He replied, Do you not know what these are? No, my Lord, I said. If I can turn this page. So he said unto me, these are the two who are anointed to serve the Lord of all the earth. The two anointed ones are Joshua the high priest and Zerubbabel, and his skills and abilities to rebuild the temple. He's going to be the chief carpenter of putting the temple back just like the Lord represents it. And these two witnesses are going to prophesy or preach to the nations by fulfilling the hand of the Lord during the time of tribulation. And if you can remember it, and I was going to look it up this afternoon and let it slip my mind. Zerubbabel and Joshua, both in the day of the Lord, after the temple is completed and the things, will die. And they'll lay in the streets, you remember that? And become what? Dry bones? And then what will the Lord do? Breathe life back into. There's coming a day, our old dry bones, if we in the grave, are going to be made alive. The dead in Christ will rise first. God's going to do what? Breathe back into those dry bones the breath of life, you know. We'll have a reuniting of body and soul, and we don't know what we're going to be like, but we're going to be like him, and he's perfect, and that's good enough for me. I don't know anything I can improve on. I know he's got to have a better idea than this short, fat, and bald, you know, that I am in my life. So he said, these are the two who are anointed to serve the Lord of all the earth. Woo, don't you know Zerubbabel? Joshua, they both had to think, whew, boy, God's got a lot of confidence in me to think I can build that temple and I can do these things. But what did God tell him? Not by your might, not by your power, but by what? By the Spirit of the Lord, we're going to do this, you know? And that's the attitude that each and every one of us need to have in our lives. Lord, not my power, not my might, but by your Spirit. And when he leads us, what did the old song say? Wherever he leads, I'll go. Do we mean that? You know? When he says, this is what I want you to do, and we have to take that, what do? Lord, are you sure about this now? Is this what you want? Is it where you want me to go? Is what you want me to be in my life? But if we're going to be who and what he wants us to be, what we got to do? We got to take that first step, don't we? And wherever it leads, we got to be willing to go. Any comment, any question? Anything you want to share? I like y'all. You're a quiet bunch. You do good. Anything you thought? Have you ever stopped to think in your mind how God just visualizes everything? He's got the plan all laid out. He knows exactly. I don't know who holds tomorrow, but he does, you know. I know who holds it. And what he has planned for us and our lives. We just have to be prepared. Brother Ernie's scripture means so much. I have not seen, ear has not heard what God has prepared for those that love him. Absolutely. Thank you for being here tonight. You're attentive, you're listening. We fast coming to the close of the law. We're going to open the door in the New Testament to grace. And that unmerited favor that God spoke about this morning for us in our lives. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you tonight. Thankful, Lord, that you are in control. Thankful, Lord, that you, as you told Zerubbabel, it's not by your power, it's not by your might, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Lord, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Go with us tonight. Help us as we go about our week this week. To have time to stop and think and just say to some lost soul, Jesus loves you. Loved you enough to die for you. We'll give you the praise, honor, and glory because we love you, Father. It's in your name we pray. Amen.